Father God, we worship you. We thank you for giving us this new day and for allowing us to learn more about you through your word. As we start this day, we commit our family and our friends to you. Be ever gracious to us, Father. Let a ray of your light break through the darkness of the world. Allow us to understand and live by your word. Give us confidence in the power of your word. In your name, amen. Again, Janine, our brains match because you were talking about Corrie Ten Boom's sister and being the ray, a ray of light, and that's my first question. Do you believe that others are able to see a glimpse of God's glory, God's light, through you? Mm-hmm. Moses was called upon Mount Sinai to have communion with God. He was there without interruption for 40 days and 40 nights. He had led, prior to moving up to the mountain, he had led the Israelites out of Egypt. And in doing so, recognizing God's blessings the whole way, only to have them going back to worshiping their idols. They actually made statues with their arms holding out, and they would start a fire and they would burn their babies as a sacrifice to their idols when Moses was up on the hill talking to God. They were dancing, they were singing, they were drinking. It was everything that God was against is what they were joining in. It was a sad and horrific time, and it was a violation of God's commands. When Moses was up on the mountain, he was with God. He was radiant and beaming. He was transfigured, changed by the experience of the voice of God sharing with him. People could not help notice the change in his skin, the change in his attitude, the change in his voice, the transfiguration that had occurred in Moses when he brought the commandments down. Imagine having that time with God. No phones, no Zoom meetings, no interruptions, no time to eat dinner, no time to run about and go shopping. That time was spent with God. We would be awestruck and in awe of his love. We would be radiant for sure. People do notice a difference in people truly living by God's commands. I'm going to be reading from Exodus this morning, Exodus 34, verses 29 to 35. Exodus 34, 29 to 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with God, with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak to the Lord. When Moses had come down from Mount Sinai, he moved the tabernacle, the tent where worshiping God had taken place. He moved the tabernacle outside of the camp because the camp was just so filled with sin. And those who sought the Lord left the camp to hear God's teaching from Moses. The people observed and listened. What a great honor for Moses to deliver those commandments, and yet he did not bask in glory as he was teaching and walking by faith. It was with humility that Moses taught, and the people were changing their way of living. Moses wearing a veil was a lesson in humility. He did not need to be cheered on by the people. His message came straight from God. He taught to the level, the aptitude and capabilities of the people. He needed all of the people to be fully aware and understand how great God's love was for them. He wanted people to truly understand the commandments that were provided for them. There is no clear explanation for the wearing of the veil. The people needed to make a choice to listen to Moses and to follow God's commandments and to live a grace-filled life. Some must have been very eager to begin a new life, and others chose to live in a society filled with sin, a sinful society that would certainly collapse quickly upon itself. I'm sure that some were tired and unsure about the dreams that they had for their future. Many of us go through times of just being tired, wondering what our dreams and hopes should be. The following is a recent reflection that I read about the ability to dream. Writer Jenny Gaiman sat in her garden and questioned her ability to dream again. In her article, Shall I Still Dream?, she shares from Joel 2, verse 28, "Your old men shall dream dreams," which we may reread as, "Your old women shall dream dreams as well." She writes, "Honestly, God, after the 2 years, these last 2 years, you want me to dream again? After hopes deferred," referring to COVID, the economy, and other crazy things that have happened in our world. She sat in her garden, her has-been garden, not sure about removing the old to make room for the new. She writes, "I'll sit here beside my garden of what was. I'll keep company with what used to be. Anything else sounds very risky these days." The Spirit moved her to Romans 8:15. "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own child. Now we call him Abba, Father." And Jenny shares, "This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, 'What's next, Papa?'" So in her not-so-pretty garden of unsure dreams, she looks down and she notices green shoots popping up, growing underneath the weeds from what was left from last year. They were in no way showing fear. The new birth was such a welcoming sight, Jenny Gaiman concludes in her article, "Instead of clinging to what was, the elder plants gave themselves for what was to come next. The old doesn't need to be removed, as I feared. No ripping out of the old roots for now. All that's being asked of me is to allow the new to emerge, to kneel beside the bright green bits and the dream, and like the dreams of old are already doing, welcome their presence and nurture their growth. Take the time necessary to be with God in prayer. He is listening to you. He is listening. Turn toward God, recognize him as your Father, and ask for all of your needs. Specifically, ask for your needs to be met during the times of uncertainty as well as in the times of joy." Jesus moved into chaos, bringing the word of the Lord with an unveiled faith. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus has changed our relationship with him. He wants us to have that father-like relationship with him. Jesus prays for us to be in a community shining with his presence, even in the darkest of times. In his presence, we are to nurture, look after one another, and allow the new to emerge. And if you can envision on Facebook and on the television, in the subways, the hundreds of people that are hiding in basements and subways, and I saw several postings of various groups singing songs to God. Tough situation, and they're bringing the light to God. May their strength and their songs help those that are so scared, sitting in the same place. Jesus had brought a young girl back to life. He had stopped a woman from hemorrhaging, and he fed 5,000 people with minimal supplies. The communities were blessed to witness the will of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. After all of this had taken place, Jesus, Peter, John, and James had gone to the mountain to spend time in prayer. And soon the disciples had fallen asleep. I'm going to be reading from Luke 9, 28 to 36. Luke 9, 28 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving, Jesus said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." It's kind of like he wanted them to be safe. Stay here, be safe. Let's just hunker down on this mountain. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Back then, they often heard Jesus' voice coming from the clouds, be it thunder. When clouds would come, they knew that God was in the clouds. And as Peter was saying, "Hey, let's build these tents," it was kind of like, "Oh, be quiet. Don't do that. You need to listen." And they were actually given the command, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." As Jesus prayed, his appearance became white and glistening. He has now acknowledged that he would go the way of the cross. The two men that were standing with Jesus were discussing the plans. When Peter, James, and John woke up, they thought that they may have been in God's kingdom already. Peter offered to make those tents, and the Lord stopped him. The two men were Moses, the lawgiver, representing those who die and go to heaven, and the prophet Elijah, who represents those who are caught up to heaven without death. Jesus could have ascended to heaven at that time, but he did not. For it is his deliverance from the bondage of sin by crucifixion that allows us to have life. He was thinking of us. Jesus shared that his followers should continue to follow him spiritually. When the great cloud had covered them, the voice of God had said, "This is my Son, hear him." By grace, through faith, we are saved. This event that happened on the mountain was never spoken about again, never mentioned to anyone, until Jesus had risen from the dead. And then they shared that this had happened indeed. For us in today's world, the uncertainties are very scary. We are to focus on Jesus, Jesus the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. Jesus will talk to us. All we need to do is to listen. Jesus is aware of our lifestyles, our lifestyle choices. He is holding on to you. He is holding on to us. Trust him, call out to him, and then take time to listen. Father God, Papa, what's going to come next? Daddy, Lord, Dad, turn to him. Cry out to your Father, Father God, Daddy, Lord. When you're suffering with a poor attitude or fear or difficult work issues or relational church problems or financial problems, or when you're simply filled with worry, cry out to God. Cry out to Jesus. He wants to embrace you. He will talk to you. Listen. He wants our words and our actions to start from a point of love. Be encouraged to embrace the salvation that comes to us through Jesus' suffering and death on that cross. We know what it means to be a Christian and to live a Christ-filled life. We're not just sitting here for fun. We are here to learn and to continue to grow and to continue to have love be the start of every word and every action from our mouths. Some people are content just to live a good life. Being a Christian is different. Allow new growth to emerge each morning in your life as the Spirit of the glory of God fills your heart. Let us pray. Dad, dear Dad, guide us to think right thoughts, to choose right actions, right and loving actions. May these new thoughts, beginning with love, and actions beginning with love, become our new habits. May we move into the destiny that you, Father God, have prepared for us. We take these moments to think of the people, the innocent people in Ukraine, the innocent people traveling to get out of Ukraine, and those that are traveling for safety reasons to come to the United States. We think about those who have been hurt in so many ways. May they feel your love. May they run into people who shine with your light and who choose to help them, Lord. May they continue to believe in you. I'd like to end with a pledge of trust written by Brian Leach. It is found on page 74 in your green hymnal. You may whisper, read, follow along, or just listen. A pledge of trust. Father, during this coming week, there may be times when I shall not be able to sense your presence or to be aware of your nearness. When I am lonely and by myself, I trust you to be my companion. When I am tempted to sin, I trust you to keep me from it. When I am depressed and anxious, I trust you to lift my spirit. When I am crushed by responsibility and overwhelmed by the demands of people on my time, I trust you to give me poise and a sense of purpose. When I am rushed and running, I trust you to make me still inside. When I forget you, I trust that you will never forget me. When I forget others, I trust you to prompt me to think of them. When you take something or someone from me that I want to keep, when you remove the props I lean on for comfort in place of you, when you refuse to respond to my questions and to answer my too selfish prayers, I always trust you even then. Amen.